August 20, 2021. It's the Wofford Pedro Show.
The test was for me. That's what it was for. You know, they could do what they wanted to do. The thing was for me to remain firm in what I was doing. But that was a funny time, particular period in my life, because I went through quite a few changes, you know, like home life, everything, man. I just went through this and everything I was doing.
The perfect wrong time to hit you.
everything I was doing, did like that.
Yeah.
But it was a hell of a test for me, and coming out of it, it's just like I always said, man, when you go through these crises and, like, you come through them, I come out of them, you're definitely strong.
Show, happy Friday. Started off with John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky in 1966. The parking lot of some supermarket in a station wagon. This is just an excerpt. Within a year, he'd be gone. It's trippy when you listen and know that. Cinema after that with Collective Outpoint. Brand new from them. And, it's no coincidence because I'm not man alone. Brother Matt's on the Love Grotto, the Pleasure Point, still. Soon to be united with him. But in the meantime, I'm not man alone because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Brother Paul Kahlo with me. Welcome aboard, Paul.
Hey, Mike, everybody in Pedro and beyond. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Where are you talking from, Paul?
I am in my bedroom in Brooklyn, New York right now.
Brooklyn,
straight up. Yep.
Okay. I want to go back. First, we got to, like, give big, mad respect to Ev. He put you up. You know, he's already been on the show, so maybe thought it was your turn.
Yeah. Also, he gave me the nod, yep.
The GO, right? Not the no-go, but the GO.
Yeah, okay. Good to go.
And we got and also Brother Hal Wolfen for making the connect to Hal and Wolf. And like I said, Ev's been on the show before, and he's talked to me about cinema. But I'm curious about you, Paul. You're the drummer, man. You're the stick man with the beat in his hand. But I want to find out about your journey through music. So can you bring me your earliest musical recollection, please?
Okay, I've been thinking about this a lot because I was guessing I'd be asked some kind of question like this, and I don't usually recount my musical memories that much. I'm kind of like I don't tend to dwell. I don't have such a good memory of all things. Ev's more the memory man of the band. He has like an encyclopedic knowledge of dates, and he's just amazing. His mind is amazing like that. Me, it's hard, you know, but my first earliest memory, I think, that like really impacted me musically was I used to do a talent show, kind of like a group, like a church parish kind of group show that they put on every year for the community and where I grew up in Marine Park, Brooklyn. So my dad is a musician, and he would go and be part of this show every year. And I would kind of tag along as a young kid, probably like 8 or 9. And I had tried my hand at like learning guitar and stuff. And I remember it was a really painful experience. And I just at a young age, I kind of was just like, why does this hurt? I don't want pain to be involved with music. So I kind of just left that behind and kind of moved on. But I remember distinctly going to that practice session with my dad for that parish community show. And there was a drummer there. And I just was enthralled by the magnitude of the kit that he had that he was bringing to this church gig. And I remember every time we went back after that, I kind of sat a little closer to the drummer. And eventually I became friends with the guy, and he kind of let me sit behind the kit and let me hold the sticks. And from that point on, it was like a moth to the flame. You know, I couldn't stop begging my parents to get me a drum set, whatever I could do to get a drum set in my apartment. And at the time, we lived in an apartment building. I grew up in an apartment building, so it was kind of not really an easy proposition to get my parents to commit to giving me a drum set for our house. But eventually I broke them down, and that started the journey. Yes, that was probably.
Well, I want to go before that, because you must, like you're telling me, your pop was a musician, so you must have had some experience with music. You said you tried to jump on the guitar. Was your pop a guitarist?
Yeah, he's a guitarist and a singer and a songwriter, and as early as I can remember, he always had music on in the car. He was a big Bruce Springsteen fan of like the singer-songwriter stuff, Cat Stevens, Jackson Brown, that kind of stuff, and it was just always on in the car. So I definitely had that swirling around in my transom when I was growing up, and then that's what got me interested in the guitar. He got a guitar. He hadn't played in a while, and I remember my mom got him a guitar for Christmas one year, and it was like a big deal, you know. It was like this big purchase, and he hadn't had one in years, and he got back into it. This is about when I was probably 5 years old, so I guess maybe that's my earliest memory. Like,
did you jump on that guitar?
I tried to. It was a little bit of a sacred thing, you know.
You said it was hurting you. What part of the guitar was hurting you? You mean you trying to put your fingers on the correct fret string kind of thing?
Yeah, man. I mean, I tried playing that guitar, but it was, you know, it got to the point where I was trying so often, they just got me my own kind of kid-sized, kid-friendly guitar. And even that, like, trying to get the fingering and the chords at that young age, you know, guitar, I mean, at any age, it still hurts your fingers, pushing the strings and getting the chords right, like you said.
Well, drumsticks put calluses on your hand, probably. I mean, anything. Did you have lessons on that guitar?
I never got lessons, but my dad tried to teach me.
You got lessons from your pop, okay.
Right, yeah.
And how did that go? Not too good, right?
I mean, he was a very patient, great teacher. I just was, I wasn't in the right mindset.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
I mean, there's a lot of things that can fuck shit up like that. The thing that really can get past that stuff is motivation, right? Like what you got seen at that church thing with the drums. That, I want music, but I want to do it that way. See how that kind of all of a sudden, things like getting calluses, not ain't such a big deal because you want to be a fucking drummer, man, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
They got you. What was a Christmas present?
No. This was. I was so adamant of getting it that this was after Christmas time, probably in the middle of winter, probably February. I think it was like February of my fifth grade year, so maybe 2000. February of 2000 was when I got my first kit, and it was just, I just wouldn't let up. I was just like, I got to get a kit. Please take me to the store. Please.
So yeah. Maybe it was like an advance on a Christmas or a birthday or whatever. They just wanted to get you happy. And since what I think happened, they saw you fucking motivated, and your pop being a music cat could relate.
Right.
Okay, maybe not guitar, maybe not Bruce, maybe not singer, song, but maybe stick man. So what was your first kit?
So the first kit I ever had was a very small starter kit. It was a groove percussion. It's like maybe you've seen it in Sam Ash or some of those stores. Like it's a kind of like an Econoline kind of drum set.
Yeah, probably
that's made
in my days, Rogers.
Okay, yes, yeah. Very similar.
Yeah. Can I ask you this? You know about trap kit, right?
Yes.
You know what that means?
It's kind of like a cocktail kit, right? Like a little symbol.
Trap kit is what we call, you know, toms, kick, snare. It's short for contraption. Yeah, because it was about 120 years ago in New Orleans it was invented. And they just fucking invented it as they went along, you know. So I'm just curious about that. There's a lot of bass shit I don't know. but I'm always learning. Let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Well, when I was first learning how to play, my school didn't have a music program to speak of. Yeah. I went to Catholic school my whole life, so they didn't really have like funding for the arts until I got into high school. But once I got into high school, I specifically found a high school that was known for its, or had an up and coming kind of music program that had a jazz band, a marching band, concert band, all that stuff.
Well, New York City, I was reading a Billy Cobham interview. He said it was famous for this shit called drum corps.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really competitive. It was like fucking kind of cutthroat.
Yeah, it was. They tried to institute that at one point in my high school, but it didn't stick for me. It started to get competitive, like you said.
Yeah, and it turns into sports, right?
Right. And you have bullshit. You have to go to the sports games, and like at that point, I mean,
I can see being the music for the sport, but when you start doing the music like sports, like using John Coltrane's Giant Steps to cut somebody. I mean, that's terrible. Elvin Jones, right? Look, I got a bunch of music from the New Cinema, and this tune you sent me, Cyclops. Let's play that right now.
Sounds good. Thank you.
man, to bust that Berlin Wall in your brain, I wish you'd just take a fucking sledgehammer to them. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. That's Cyclops from Cinema Cinema starting off that chunk of music. Then we had Brett Goodsight in Milwaukee with his JMY label just put out a couple of compilations, number 3 and 4. I think this first one is called Sublimation. Yeah, Sublimation. Part of his little series of getting people together. JMY. OE4 Operating Expenses Series. Kind of convoluted tied along there, but the main point is there's a lot of different people coming together to make music. So I'm playing a bunch of that stuff this show. Tomorrow got another comp. I'm going to play tunes from that. So he asked me to do some. He was a guest on the show, and he said, hey, what, will you play a collab with me? So he sent me some music, and I put bass to it. And pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. I think it was part of the spiel in our interview, and he used it right in. So nothing's wasted, people. It can always be part of the next thing you want to make, okay? Something to note to self. So Goodsight Watt with pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Then Heavy Positive, Blind Arch, Librarians, Aiden's Lament, Post-Doom Romance, Being and Destruction, Farm Acoustic with Blay Among. Yeah, so, you know, the cops are sort of like the old idea of mixtapes, huh? You want to turn your buddies on to shit they ain't heard yet, so I like them. Then Bronze Age UFO, Lagoon Monster, Rubber Mass, Volume 2, Part B5, Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore, part of the Mold Omen family. Bombers printing out of D.C. area, Raw, Violin, Seed, Oil Slick, and finally, Cinema Cinema, brand new stuff, Colors. Back to Paul and his journey through music. So, Paul, it's man alone practicing in an apartment, making a bunch of noise. Your parents are beautiful for letting that happen. But and I'm not saying after school, like graduate, but after school in the afternoon, do you get into the apartment band, garage band, basement band, bedroom band with your buddies?
My first band that I ever really had was actually kind of with my father, because he was still playing all this time. And, you know, he realized at a certain point, we realized at the same time, oh, he has a drummer now for his songs. So yeah, I actually got a really good amount of experience, like listening to another musician and writing my own drum parts at an early age by being able to just jam with my dad on whatever cover song he wanted to do or whatever original song he had. So, you know, I had lessons for like about a year or so when I first started playing. But like after that, once I kind of got the roots down of how to make a beat, I kind of was off to the races. And then, you know, my dad kind of started showing me his songs. And that's kind of...
It was a good thing to have some lessons?
I thought so. I mean, God bless my teacher. He was a little bit out there. But, you know, from when I started, and like, again, this was a long time ago when there was no, you know, there was really not an easy way to like go online or find videos or anything like that. I remember I had a VHS tape that came with my second ever drum set that I owned. There was a step up from Groove Percussion. It was like a Tama kit, and it came with a VHS tape of
Tama's
a bunch of different.
Tama's are pretty good. I think Dave Grohl played one.
Yeah, that's, I think, kind of was my inspiration. I was into heavier music growing up, so like a lot of heavy drummers used Tama.
Yeah,
so like I
forgot
I thought,
to ask you, what was the first record you bought with your own money, Paul?
Oh man, the first record I bought with my own money.
Remember, it's a
you know,
for Pedro show, so there's no hard questions, there's no wrong answers.
I'll be totally honest. I believe the first record I ever bought with my own money was an album by a band called Blink-182. Yeah. When I was coming up, I probably know them. They're a pretty famous punk band now, but or pop punk or whatever you want to call it. And whatever you want to say about them now, as a kid growing up, they were kind of the big band.
What's his name? Travis.
Travis Barker. Yep, yep. Speaking of,
he can play some drums. And
yeah,
and then actually the man has played hurt and stuff and still did an okay job. Pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been through quite a bit. And also he was
killed in a plane crash and shit, right?
Right. Yeah, he could very easily not be with us right now.
My buddy Fluff produced their first couple records. They were San Diego cats, or probably still are. What was the first gig you went and saw, Paul?
The first gig I went when I went probably to... I was really into the pop punk scene when I was growing up at that, you know, in 2002, that's what was really popular, and I kind of fell into that.
I saw the picture, and I could tell by the headgear.
the snapback
hat always gives it away. You were talking about playing with your pop in the pad, but did you ever do gigs with your pop early on then?
Absolutely, yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, it was so much fun. I mean, we had a great time. It was a great bonding experience for us too. But it was also like
pads. Were they like coffee houses or?
Yeah. So eventually, the next year when we went back again to the to that Cabaret the Parish church show that we put on every year, that next year I was the drummer of that show.
Oh, so wow.
So within a year, I was so motivated.
Make it be so. You fucking made it be so.
I really did. I really did. And I mean, I guess I was cheaper than the other drummer they were working hiring. So whatever I had to do to broker that deal, I don't remember how that happened. But I wound up playing that gig, and then also my dad was also playing some songs for that show too. So I would play with him then. So that was like the first time we ever really played together.
That's right, and it's probably your first gigs, right?
Pretty much, yeah, that was it.
Yeah. That's beautiful. You know, because sometimes you worry about it, right? I remember in Little League and thinking, because like, right, always there's one or two cats on the team, their dad's the coach. And like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you get to play, but then you also get fucking the beat downs.
Yeah, well, I had that too with my dad. He was a coach of my Little League team.
That's what I'm saying, Paul. That's what I'm saying. So, but like most things human, there's the pluses, there's the minuses.
Right.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, August 20, 2021, edition Watt Peters. So, special guest, Paul Kyle. Hang tight for hour two. August 20, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watt from Peters.
Yeah.
Watch for Peter's show start off the second hour with Cinema Cinema doing Cloud 2 as opposed to Cloud 4, which we played at the end of the chunk. But beginning there, Cloud 2. And then Todd Mattel with Sinestneta. Fuck, why do people do these? I'm just retarded with language. I'm sorry, people. Sinestnetebc from Todd Mattel. This is off of Brett Goodsight's. Got some noise going on over there, Paul. And then Katsuya Ishigami with Memory Modification 20210526. Yeah, these titles. Head Boggle, MM minus V plus G2 minus B1. And then finally, Cinema Cinema with Cloud 4. And by the way, people, it's Claro. Paul Claro. It's a fucking my excuse for my fucking error.
Yeah, that helps. If you pronounce it with the accent, it helps. Claro.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I played in a band with two Italian guys. They were Sonia de Mina, you know, Sailor's Dream. And, yeah, every time I hear him speak, I know how fucking stupid I am for not getting it right. But, you know, I'm a learner. I'm learning. I'm here to learn.
So we can ask.
Right. Now, let's talk about, okay, you must have evolved a little past the church pop thing, right? Playing with a cat your own age?
Yeah, eventually, by the time I, right before I got to high school, by, you know, I started off when I was, in fifth, sixth grade, and then I was kind of like the nerdy kid sitting in the corner reading a Guitar Center magazine or a Drumhead magazine or something, and then I was a little ahead of the curve, so by the time I was in
eighth. Isn't the big one for you guys Modern Drummer?
Modern Drummer, yeah. Yeah, that was the big one. I preferred the Drumhead magazine.
Okay, that's okay.
I don't know.
That's okay, but I remember seeing that a lot. George Hurley might have ended up on the cover one year.
Did he really? Oh man, love Hurley, man. He was
he's big time.
Yeah, he's amazing. But I think Modern Drummer actually is gone now. I don't think it actually continues.
No,
but
we're
to be
talking
published.
About the older days, right? When you transition from your pop in the church to like playing with, you know, like you said, your nerdy kid in the corner reading magazine, and then all of a sudden, what? You're the man with the stick
exactly.
in his hand. He's the man.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Exactly. So yeah. So that desire that my dad had to have a drummer that actually existed in eighth grade for me as well. In my actual my peers that used to think I was a weird nerdy music guy, music geek. Eventually, they all got into music, and then all of a sudden they wanted a drummer and they wanted to start a band. So I wound up being in like three different bands between like seventh and eighth grade before I went to high school. And that, you know,
it's
we didn't
problem,
really
right, Paul, because so many same with bass, right? Because everybody wants to rock the guitar and be lead singer.
Oh yeah,
lots of O word for us, opportunity.
Yeah, but they didn't know what they had coming.
Oh
one
yeah,
day,
I know exactly, but that's kind of the dynamic, right?
Totally, totally, and you know, it's hard to find a drummer because of all the reasons we just said. Of you know, it's a big instrument, it's a big commitment, and I mean, even people who have houses, their parents don't even want to.
Also, I think it's the image problem. Like, drummers are retarded, and like real musicians are lead guitar and singers. Yeah, right. Bullshit. Yeah. Right. Yeah. To make a band, you need all kinds of cats. So you're in three different bands at the same time. Now, are these bands doing? Do they ask you to write material? Because you said you got to write your own parts with your pop.
Yeah, I mean, when I was playing with the kids in my my school, we just wrote stuff and jammed stuff from scratch, basically. And yeah, we were writing our own stuff and also playing some covers of like the bands of that time.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, like, and then by the time I got into high school, then it really kicked into gear. I met a bunch of different people, and then I was also playing in all the different bands that the school had to offer while also still playing with my dad. We did some coffee house gigs. We graduated up from the cabaret thing of the parish to playing some coffee gigs.
You were in the school. Oh yeah. Because the Catholic school didn't have the program, but the high school did.
Yes,
so,
yes, exactly.
So you're in the marching band. Are you slinging? So you learned how to play traditional?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I learned, I was obviously playing match grip my whole
rock
time.
Yeah, rock and roll, right.
Right, and then we were playing some parades and marching stuff. And
right, well,
I had
you got to kind of sling it, right, because you're slinging the drum.
Yeah, and I'm having the drum on my body. And it's
unless you were one of the guys who got to play the tri-toms.
Oh, I got to do it all, Mike. I got to do everything.
Okay. The tri-toms, right? It's all out in front of you like a fucking chow table.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You can't really traditional grip that. You need to kind of strike some
people. It's bitches. You got a little section there, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. You get a little drum solo. And,
there's some bands here, especially inner city. They had it happening with that stuff. Rocking.
Oh,
I mean, really rocking. Look, Trigger, Cinema, new stuff.
Thank you.
Show that Chunk of Music star out brand new cinema Trigger, and then more from Brett Goodsight's Three Sublimation, Jim Baker, Fred Longberg, Holm, and Weasel Walter. There's a drummer, man, Weasel Walter.
Oh yeah.
Odom. Well, by the way, Michael Evans, drummer man, was on the show a few months ago. COVID-19 just got him. People, this shit's serious. He's a beautiful man. I never got to meet him. But he got to be on the show, and he really inspired me with his stories of his journey through music. Incredible. Ended up in Sun Ra's town, Birmingham, Alabama. You Fell Overboard by the Geodes alternate version. And finally, Cinema with Crackin' Down. Paul, how did you meet Ev?
Well, if my earliest memories of Ev start from when I was a kid going over to my aunt's house, my grandparents' house, where my aunt and Ev lived. You know, Ev is my cousin for people who don't know. So I met Ev as soon as I was born, basically. But we didn't really start like a real relationship. He's 10 years older than me, so I always kind of looked up to him. And but he wasn't really around. He was 10 years age difference from when you're.
It's big
five
time.
To,
it's fucking way yeah. big time because it's like you're in grade school, he's graduating high school.
Right. So it didn't really level out until.
But Paul, you knew him at, not just a cousin, but you knew him as a music man too.
Yeah, from very early on, I remember people in my family talking about, oh, Ev has a gig coming up. Ev's a singer in a band. Ev's playing guitar. And my family is relative. My family on my dad's side is a relatively musical. Family, so it wasn't too like surprising that there was another musician sprouting from the.
No, but in a way, you wanted to fucking play with him, or did he seek you out?
I think the story that I will stick to is that my whole life, as soon as I realized that I wanted to play music, and even before that, I felt this kind of being drawn to Ev and being interested in what he was doing, even before I got into music. And then when I started playing. I had this real desire to at least have him know that I was a musician too.
Do you remember the first time you guys played together?
Yeah, I remember the first time we played together. It was my high school graduation. It wasn't really like a gig where me and him played by ourselves, but I think similar to other occasions, every once in a while we would throw a party and me and my dad would play. At the party, whether it was like a birthday party for somebody or one of my birthdays or just a family gathering that was related to my family specifically, me and my dad would use that as an excuse to jam and play some songs for everybody. So I believe the first time me and Ev played is Ev came to my graduation party and he sat in with me and my dad and we just played some covers. And that's the first time. And I remember there's this picture of me that I have that I cherish to this day. It's just like I have this like shit-eating grin on my face, and I'm just like so happy to be playing with my dad and with Ev and in front of my family. Like it was such a nice moment. But
Now the cinema, that's his baby, right? So when do you get asked to board?
Well, like I said, like I was always interested. I always knew I was a fan of Ev's music with Cinema before I got into playing with him. He had a couple of albums out of music that he was recording with other people, his friends Pat and Chris, who were originally playing with. And then, you know, eventually they went on to move on to other things, and Ev was looking for a drummer. But I had always kind of was interested in his music. I was a fan. So, and I remember even before he had Cinema music, he was doing his own solo stuff. And I remember he had a website back in like 2004 or 2005 or something like that. And I remember thinking, oh man, he's got a website. Like that was a big deal back then. Like there was no social media. It was like a big commitment to have a website back in those early days like that. So, I would,
the
and he would
page
stream.
Goes back to 1996.
What? Really?
Yeah, I thought it was like fanzines. Everybody'd have one. I thought it was a great idea. And then everybody flocks to fucking shitter, fake looking Instant Ham. The corporate one. But
right,
there's
right.
No people with. So you wanted to play with him even before Cinema. But what happened was Katz left him, and the opportunity was an opening. And
right.
He got to play with you and your pop. He knew your abilities. So what, was it like a ring-ding-ding-a-ling down the throat?
I think that's exactly putting it exactly right.
We're at the end of, I borrowed that from Eazy-E. And I think he had Ice Cube write that for him. We're at the end of the second hour, August 20, 2021. This Watt Pedro Show special guest, Paul Claro. Hold tight for hour 3.
I learned, now I'm learning
August
something.
August 20, 2021, that's hard to say. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Hidden Terror. No, first it was Continued from Cinema Cinema. What better way to start off the third hour with Continued, right? And then Drekka with, again, from Gutzeit's Cop number 3, Sublimation. This is a detail for some reason. Golden Braid. Maybe there's a couple versions, and this is the detailed version, as opposed to the airbrush. And then Cinema Cinema with Bratislava, which everybody knows is capital Slovakia. Okay. Paul, tell me about the first Cinema Cinema gig you did with Ev.
Oh, man, I'll never forget it. It was February. Ev would know the exact date and the day that we played. Maybe it was, it might have been like a Tuesday or something. I don't know, but I was so excited. I was only like 19 at the time when we first started playing. So, and this was after maybe a month of us practicing together. We had kind of just started in January of 2008. And then by middle of February of 2008, we were playing a gig in the city. And Ev had some connections and stuff through to other venues and stuff from playing around the city with the other guys and stuff. So it was pretty easy for us to get the ball rolling and just kind of like go out there and just play what we had to offer at the time, you know? So it was pretty quick process of us jamming together, realizing, hey, we can just do this as two people. We don't really need to wait for anybody else. Let's just go and start playing gigs. And yeah, I think maybe even in the early days, we might've thought, oh, maybe we'll add a bassist or maybe we'll do this or whatever. But pretty instantly we realized that it just worked, the two of us. And it was such
I was going to say, Paul, that poor lonely kick drum.
Yeah, man, it's tough. It's tough. What I have to sometimes, especially early on, make up a bass line in my head to follow. Like,
well, you know, that's why Earl Palmer, you know, before Earl Palmer, Little Richard's drummer, well, he played on all kinds of records, second only to Hal Blaine, but he's the guy who invented the steady kick drum. Before that, kick drums were just bombs for accidents. But because sometimes it couldn't carry a bass man, he came in with his steady kick and changed. That's the rock, what we call the rock and roll drum beat now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't mean to be like a little lecture. So this gig was a success. It was a twofer, a two-man deal, and they didn't throw shit?
Not at that gig.
I've had plenty of gigs where they throw shit. I can relate, Paul, believe me.
We've definitely emptied some rooms in our day.
We call those character builders.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially early on. I mean, we were just figuring things out, but it was.
And also the whole idea of the gig goers, and then the people who are bringing the music, of it coinciding. That's kind of a dice roll. So, unless you're a total, you know, whatever. What do you call it when you prostitute yourself? Well, maybe a prostitute. You know what I mean? Just the creativity versus expression versus, hey, it's my money, I want to hear what I want. You know, it's all a trippy kind of thing. I think people forget about that dynamic.
Totally.
Let's talk about this record. How long did it take to do?
Well, so I think one of the last times you talked to Ev, we were promoting the first edition of this CCXMD collaboration. It's a collaboration between us and an amazing wind maestro, Matt Dario, who we met in around 2013. And out of that relationship, we kind of really enjoyed having like a third. It was like really the first time we had a third person kind of enter into the cinema mix, right?
Right.
And having a horn player, especially for me with my background kind of in jazz through my high school, which, you know, that really was a growth for me as a musician, like playing big band stuff and, you know, like the classics, like In the Mood and In Sentimental Mood and stuff like that, like some stuff like Mac the Knife, like all these songs, like it brought me back. Playing with Matt brought me back to that kind of thing. And it kind of, for me specifically, and I think for Ev as well, and for the band in general, we kind of, it took us into a whole different direction, right? It opened up like little compartments of our creativity that we didn't even know that we had.
So in a way, it kind of came together quick?
Yeah, exactly. It kind of came because Matt Dario is a very busy guy, and he's a hard guy to nail down. So we practiced, we played a gig, and then before you know it, we're like, let's try to record something. And we just went into the studio one fateful day and recorded for like 90 minutes. And the result of that yielded.
That's what we're hearing. Okay, okay. So he's like, if you wouldn't have grabbed him then, it might have been lost. You know, it was an opportunity you had to nail.
Right. It was. The moment was right there, and we had to take it.
We forget about that. That life is finite, you know, and we always think there's time. But yeah. I think little lessons like that are kind of good for the big picture too. Maybe there ain't enough time, and maybe what they say, strike when the iron's hot. So
right.
the man was ready, right? His lungs were full of air, and he was ready to blow. And so you and Ev, he caveat emptor. Or whatever.
Yeah, basically.
No. Carpe diem.
Carpe diem.
Yeah, get some fucking Latin together. What? Look, you gave me here a hidden tariff. Now we're going to play it.
Thank you. never a clown on your face.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro, show last music for this edition. Hidden Tariff, Cinema Cinema, TV Pow, from Brett Goodsight's third compilation, Sublimation, out of Milwaukee. Predator in the Alley, I think he might be involved with that project. Cinema Cinema, finally, a life of its own. So the titles probably came last, right? Was it like kind of like Miles on the Corner or something, where you had the big, because you said 90 minutes, and then from there you carved up things later?
Basically, yeah. I mean, we just did improv. I think we did like three kind of 30-minute jams, and then edited from there. And then I think we also some of the cloud things that we put on the record, those were just like specific thoughts that Matt had, that he would say, oh, let's just do a quick thing that sounds like a cloud, and or think of a cloud and play, you know. So we did little things like that, and then like little spastic.
So was he kind of running the sessions, and you and Ev were more like accomplices?
I mean, there was definitely a sense of like kind of reverence that we had for Matt, and respect. that we kind of just let him kind of, like, we built the dance floor for him to like tap dance on top of.
Yeah, right. Which is probably better than using your foreheads.
Yeah, or any other type of heads, you know.
I remember Jimmy Cagney or some shit, right? He used that in a movie or something. He'd empty his gun out at you and then throw the gun at you. He pushed the bullets at you and then he'd throw the gun at you when it was empty.
That's usually the cinema approach.
So you and Ev, you didn't prepare anything. You didn't bring in tunes.
No, nothing at all. We had a meeting of the minds
like,
before.
Nels Klein territory.
I mean, I would be very proud to be in that territory. I don't know if we are or not, but we definitely didn't have anything planned. We just
Let me put it like this, Paul. Like, oh, we're gonna paint some coffee mugs. No, no, no. See that hunk of clay? You're gonna put it on the wheel and you're gonna spin the mug. Then you're gonna paint it.
that is exactly it. The imagery that I have, that is exactly how I felt in that moment. We were just spinning the clay,
yeah.
And I think really the molding kind of happened in the room, you know, especially with Matt kind of leading us in certain ways, like kind of being a band leader. But also, sure. I think we also passed the baton a little bit, you know, like
okay,
if you
yeah,
listen
sure.
on that. You know, like if we
well,
if I listen
you
back
start
to
the, first, hey, you start first this time. No,
exactly, yeah. Okay, okay. And if I listen, I mean, it was such a blur now, and it was so long ago at this point, a couple of years ago. But you know, when I listen back to it, it kind of brings me back to that moment of being in that creative space and feeling that, you know, that unspoken kind of connection where it's like, okay, now it's your turn. You know, like you do something, and then that would bring us to another.
Yeah, but you're still trying to make an interesting conversation, and that way, music is kind of like human connect.
Paul, absolutely.
Do you got your own website?
Me personally, like paulclaro.com? No, I don't have that.
One day you will, because a drummer in demand, people want to know where to find him on the internet. So just a little suggest.
That's good.
You think you're ever going to play Tom again?
I'm kind of graduated up to, you said Tama, right? Like the Tama drum, the drum kit?
No. The horn man.
Oh. We are working on something else with Matt.
Matt,
yeah. I thought Matt. You said Thomas.
No, with Alzheimer's, you always meet new people.
Oh, my God.
Always hear new songs.
Everything's fresh, right?
Yeah, everything, totally. So, I meant Matt. Are you going to work with him again? Well, I mean, what's next in line for Cinema?
Well, we actually, on this very day, on the day that we're releasing this album, we're talking on August 20th, 2021.
Right.
This album is coming out that day. It's the second of that session that we recorded years ago. But actually, on this night, me and Ev are meeting up to go edit some new material that we did with Matt during the pandemic.
For a third record,
yeah, that we can
work. That's bitching. That's most.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been really, truly an honor. I really enjoyed it.
People, it's been August 20, 2021. This is why Peter shall keep you battered, right?